Dear brothers and sisters, today is the Passion Week, and let us briefly review the footsteps of Jesus during the Passion Week. The concept of the day of Israel at the time is different from that of today. So I'm going to explain in today's sense. On the first day, Sunday, he entered the city of Jerusalem. The people welcomed him, saying Hosanna with the palm trees on their hands, in their hands. And today is the day, Sunday, to celebrate, commemorate the entering of Jesus' entering the city of Jerusalem, and the people welcoming him with palm trees in their hands. But the welcoming and cheering of the people became angry shout to crucify him a couple of days later. Sunday night, Jesus was at Bethany, and in the morning of Monday, he went to Jerusalem temple, and on the way, he cursed the fig tree that had no fruit. And then he went to the temple and he overturned the tables of the money exchangers, and he cleaned the temple, purified the temple. And they were not doing it inside the temple or, holy place or any of those inside, but at the temple yard. On Tuesday, the high priests, scribes, and the elders asked Jesus with many questions to find fault in him, but they couldn't find any fault in him. Jesus also prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem temple and about the end time. On Wednesday, he was eating at the house of Simon at Bethany, and Mary poured oil on him, on his head. And Jesus said it was for his burial. On Thursday, he had the Passover supper and conducted the Holy Communion. And he washed the feet of the disciples. And he let them know that one of them would sell him out. And Judas Iscariot knew it was him, and he left the place. Jesus said to the disciples that the disciples would disperse when Jesus was being crucified. But the disciples denied that they were going to run away. But they said they were going to be with the Lord until the end. But after the supper, the last supper, he went to Gethsemane, and he prayed until his sweat became drops of blood falling to the ground. After the prayer, he was arrested by the people brought by Judas Iscariot. He was taken to Annas, the high priest, and he was questioned there. And then he was taken to Caiaphas, and then to Pilate, and from Pilate to Herod, and then he came back to Pilate, and he was sentenced to death by Pilate. During the process, he was flogged, he was punched, and his body was full of blood. Some of the soldiers mocked him while spitting on him, on his face, but Jesus didn't say anything. He took the cross to Golgotha and was crucified at around 9 a.m., and he breathed his last at around 3 p.m., after he breathed his last, he preached the gospel to the souls in the prison. And on the third day, he resurrected and became the Savior for the mankind. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope during this week, I hope you will remember each of the steps of Jesus and give thanks for the love of the Lord. Jesus' footsteps since his birth until the last moment on the cross, everything was in obedience to the will of God. The evil people and the devil might have thought they did what they wanted to do to Jesus, but actually they couldn't hurt him if not allowed by God. So Jesus willingly took the way of suffering, knowing that it was time to take the cross. Jesus let the disciples know what was going to happen. Matthew 20:18-19 says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up." Hearing this, how did the disciples respond? They couldn't really understand the meaning of it. They were not interested in they didn't pay attention to the sufferings of Jesus, but they only paid attention to the glory that Jesus would enjoy. Jesus thought Jesus would become the king of the world and rule over everybody on this earth. And they thought they were going to be powerful people under his reign. So when Jesus was explaining about the sufferings they had to take, the disciples couldn't understand it. This message was preached by the senior pastor in 2002. And thinking about this, I was reminded of an event in 2017. Toward the end of the Spirit Festivity that we had, toward the evening, he asked the leaders there. They were all leaders and workers in the church. So they spent a happy day for the whole day. And he asked, "Can you take the cross instead of Jesus?" If Jesus asked you. And soon he said, "I can. If Jesus asked me to take the cross for him." With joy. Knowing, I know very well how hard, how painful it is, and yet I can, and I will. And of course, the leaders, everybody there, they would agree that he can do it from the bottom of the heart. And of course, we knew that Jesus, senior pastor, was asking us to be able to do so. And because senior pastor was shedding tears, we all shed tears together, saying that he could take the cross for Jesus. And because we could feel his love for God and the Lord. And yet, at that time, we didn't know why he was saying it, the deep meaning hidden behind his words. And a year later, we see that he is taking up so much suffering. And now I feel that he was moved in his heart about his forthcoming sufferings and preparing for this Passion Week. Jesus is also asking us, and senior pastor said yes, and I realized that he basically took the cross. We already saw the senior pastor suffering and taking up so much sacrifice. He lost all his strength and he lost all his energy. So sometimes his secretary had to continue because he couldn't speak with her powerfully enough. And yet, he was still manifesting such great power of God. So we didn't really think about his sufferings or his sacrifice or his pain. We didn't really feel it deep in our heart. We just thought, Senior Pastor is such a great man of God. He is just manifesting such great power of God. It's just a process. So we didn't really think about the depth, the magnitude of the pains and sufferings that he was going through. And at the end of the Spirit Festivity, when he said that, we didn't really realize the meaning. And so we now realize what a great suffering and pain that he's going through, and we begin to realize how great the magnitude of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. At the time, the disciples, they didn't realize what was going on, and they were immature. They were talking about who is going to be greater. And so were our cases too, I believe. When Senior Pastor mentioned it, we didn't know what he meant. What it meant by him mentioning that. We didn't realize the depth and the weight and magnitude of the burden that he was carrying. And now we are beginning to understand the burden that he was carrying. And of course, some of us we don't feel we are able to take the cross of Jesus. But to participate in the glory, we have to participate in the sufferings together. Just for us to be saved on this, maybe you don't commit sins leading to death, you don't pass judgment to condemnation, you don't commit the works of the flesh, and you can be saved. But that's not what we are hoping for. We probably you want to go to New Jerusalem, become a great man in the kingdom of heaven, and for that to happen, you have to be able to take the cup of the Lord. So Senior Pastor has already gone the way, and he's telling us to follow him, and I believe we should. And Jesus showed us the example. He took the cup willingly. And so that's how we are supposed to take the cup too. When Jesus was talking about his sufferings, that he was going to suffer, the disciples were interested only about who is going to be greater. Especially James and John's mother, the mothers, they were talking about who would sit at the right hand and left hand of the Lord in his kingdom. And Jesus asked the disciples, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you take the cup that I am about to drink?" And his kingdom is not on this earth. It is kingdom of heaven. So to be in a glorious position there, we have to take this cup of Jesus' sufferings together. But James and John didn't realize this meaning. At that time, they thought they were able to do that. So they said yes. Matthew 26:35 says, Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing too. Dear brothers and sisters, How is it with you? Do you love the Lord Jesus who took the sufferings and took the cross for us? If He asks you, can you take my cup? Then what would you be able to say? And in this session, I'm going to talk about what kind of cup of suffering that Jesus took. And let us think about ourselves once again, as to whether or not we can take the cup of the Lord. And I hope we will all be able to take the cross of the Lord together. I pray this in the name of the Lord. Jesus showed great power, amazing power, and gave hope to the hopeless. He healed so many sick people and drove out demons and spread the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So many people followed him, and 12 disciples were selected, and they had close relationship with Jesus. But Jesus couldn't be with them forever. Now it is time for him to take the cross. He had to go back to the Father. He had to leave his beloved people. When the time came, Jesus went up to Mount of Olives and prayed earnestly. Luke 22:42 says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus knew that it was the will of God to take the cross, but the weight of the burden was so heavy that he prayed, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. And even though he knew the will of God so very well, he had to pray in this way. What kind of heart was this? Of course, he didn't want to avoid it. He is also telling us, I didn't just take the cross because it was easy. It was such a painful way. And it was his cry just before he was about to save the mankind. He was asking for the power to fulfill it completely because it was so wretched and painful. He prayed so earnestly with all his strength that the small veins were burst and the blood came out of the body. And they were mixed with the sweat and they fell to the ground. At first, I thought maybe it was just a symbolism that it just looked like blood. It wasn't actually the blood. But the senior pastor received the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through his prayer. He explained that the small veins in the body, they were burst because he was restraining himself so much in the prayer that the blood, actual blood, were mixed with the sweat and came out with the sweat together. So, why did they do that? Because the cross, taking the cross was not easy at all. Even though he had the divinity and he came as the Son of God, he had to pray still to fulfill God's will and to take the cross. So even Jesus, the Son of God, prayed so hard, and even and us, these we human beings, how can we cast away sins and live by the Word of God without praying? And through Jesus' prayer, let us realize the importance of prayer. After Jesus finished prayer, he was arrested by the Jews, brought by Judas Iscariot, and he was taken to Pilate. Pilate couldn't find any sin in Jesus, crime in Jesus, but he still scourged him and sentenced him to crucifixion. He was questioned here and there, and because of the crown of thorns on his head and scourging, his body was full of blood. And the thorns in Korea is not that long, but the thorns in Israel, they are so big and so long. And with that, they made a crown of thorns. And they make it a little smaller than the head, size of the head. And they press it down. And the thorns pierce in the head, pierce the head. And those photos or scenes on the TV screen, they are the performances of our church for the Easter. We do these performances every year. So they are the scenes from those performances. And the Roman soldiers, they put some pieces of bones or lead pieces at the tip of the whips. So these pieces would penetrate into the flesh. And they so these pieces, they cut the flesh, tear apart the flesh, so sometimes even the bones are exposed. And Jesus was full of blood on the face and the body, and now he had to take the heavy cross, carry the heavy cross, more than 800 meters up to Golgotha. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, and yet he was scourged, and he was so tired, and the cross was so heavy, so he fell one time and two times, and there were no disciples who would help him. They all hid themselves out of fear. And in this way of suffering, only the women or mourning they wanted to hold on to Jesus. They wanted to stop the soldiers, but they were blocked by the soldiers and the crowd, and they had nothing to do. When he reached at the top of the hill, the soldiers stripped him of his clothes and began to nail him on the hands and feet. And whenever the nail was pierced into his flesh, there was blood coming out. But he wouldn't die because they didn't hit the hit those spots. And then the cross was stood up, and the whole body weight would be put on the hands and feet, and the hands and feet would be tearing, and the pain would increase, and the lungs and the heart would be pressed, so it's hard to breathe. And if you twist your body to breathe, more pains would be inflicted on the hands. And Jesus was hung on the cross for 6 hours, being nailed under the scorching sunshine of the desert. He was bleeding until he breathed his last, and his thirst was beyond words. And strong insects or on his body, and he couldn't chase them away. The soldiers, they shared the divided cloak of Jesus, and they were mocking Jesus to come down from the cross. But Matthew 26:53 says, "Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But because he knew that he had to die to save the mankind, he couldn't come down. He just prayed that, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He only interceded for them. And after he shed all his water and blood, he breathed his last. And dear brothers and sisters, during all these sufferings, what kind of heart, what kind of mind did Jesus have? He didn't complain or resent anything, but he was filled with thanksgiving and joy through the sufferings. He knew he would fulfill the providence of salvation, so he was thankful and joyful. God the Father separated out Jesus and the Holy Spirit at the beginning and planned human cultivation. And when the time came, God knew that when the time came, Jesus would be born in human flesh and die on the cross. So Jesus also knew what he had to do. And why would God give his only begotten Son? Because as Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We, all humankind, had to pay for our sins and go end up in hell. However, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus took death upon himself on our behalf. So just by believing in him, we can be forgiven of our sins. He had to be nailed through his hands and feet to forgive us of our sins that we commit with actions. And he wore the crown of thorns to forgive our sins that we commit with thoughts. We pass judgment and condemnation. We are envious, jealous, and we resent, complain. And all these, for all these sins, he had to wear the crown of thorns. And to take our diseases and infirmities, he had to be scourged. And to redeem us from the curse, he had to be hung on a wooden cross. Of course, it was not something easy. John 12:27 says, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." He wanted to avoid the cross if he could, but he knew he came to this earth to take the cross, so he was willing to take the cross. And he was also embarrassed and sad because thinking of the Father God who was going to be heartbroken seeing Jesus suffer. When Jesus was being scourged, when he was bleeding, when he was being mocked and despised by the people, of course God the Father would have been so heartbroken. But because it was necessary, it was needed. And Jesus didn't complain at all, but rather he comforted God. So many people will be saved through my suffering, so Father, please do not be in sorrow. He comforted the heart of God the Father.
Do
Do you sometimes hear something you don't like? So, do you feel you're persecuted? And think of the persecutions. Think of the sufferings of the Lord. And let us also understand the heart of God. And let us make professions of love before the Father. And the Father God will be pleased with us. And the crowd, they were shouting, "Crucify him." And the soldiers nailed him on the cross. And yet, even to them, he was only full of love and compassion on them. And even those who were showing evil, Jesus believed that they would be saved eventually. They were precious souls created by God the Father, so his love for them didn't change. And while going up Golgotha, looking at the crowd, he remembered a lot of things. He remembered growing up in a human body, the disciples, and also each good woman, each of the good women who served him, and also the disciple that betrayed him. The disciples saw so many signs and wonders and power of God. And so many disciples, they betrayed God. They left him only because they couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. But Jesus didn't hate them or complained. He just had mercy and compassion on them. And yet, thinking of the fact that Holy Spirit had come upon them, come into them, he was comforted to some extent. And he was comforted thinking that they would overcome all the hardships by the power of the Holy Spirit and come to heaven eventually. So many people would be saved, and some of them would be sanctified and become true children of God. And thinking of that, he had the power to overcome the sufferings of the cross. So God the Father created us human beings to gain true children. And he created this beautiful New Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit is giving us the strength. And knowing his love, how can he say, we shouldn't say, "Oh, I'll just lead a casual Christian life and just be saved"? Do you think it's hard? Do you need tears and fasting to cast away sins and go to New Jerusalem? Of course, we have to do it. And after we go into New Jerusalem, the Lord will commend us. Senior pastor also thought of delivered a message thinking about the sufferings of the Lord. Senior pastor also talked about the sufferings that he had gone through since the opening of the church. He believed the result would be blessing, so he overcame with faith every time. So every time he overcame, the power of God increased. And Sometimes there were trials that couldn't really be overcome. Sometimes he felt very lonely in going through and taking all the burdens all by himself, because there's nobody else that can help him take the burden. But he could still overcome and give thanks and rejoice because he had faith in God. And also, he said, even during the sufferings, the church members, many church members, mourned together and prayed for him and supported him. And Senior Pastor explained that overcoming doesn't mean the trials are hard. But it is, he said, overcome in a sense that he was praying with tears to keep each and every soul and to fulfill all his duty. Of course, trials are hard. But if we have faith, we can overcome and we can just win the victory. And we will be able to look at the fruit, look at the blessing that is at the end of the trials. Of course, Senior Pastor had a lot of sufferings and he had to share so many tears. He always prayed that the souls would not be deceived. In 1999, he stayed in the his office in the basement for so many months, so he lost so much weight. And I believe you remember that time. He had no strength and he was shaking. He was swaggering while he's walking, and yet he always kept this altar and preached in every service. And we didn't know when the trials were going to end. And God doesn't let us know when it's going to end. In a test, you cannot be given all the answers in advance. But of course, you know what areas to cover. So the trials are the same. God will not give us the exact time when the trial will be over. So we do not know when the trials will be over. So Senior Pastor also said he didn't know when it was going to end, but he just kept on going forward today and tomorrow and the next week. You might pray that the trials will end today, but suppose the trials are going on, then you shouldn't get disappointed. Even though you pray and the trials don't end tomorrow, especially when Mrs. Bongnim Lee, we asked to pray that the senior pastor will be released soon, tomorrow. But even if he doesn't come tomorrow, we still keep on praying. So without getting disappointed, we just keep on praying with endurance and patience.
And
So as senior pastor overcame all the trials, I believe so should we. Have you been overcoming these times of trials with joy and thanksgiving? Or have you been tired? Or have you been looking at the situations with faith? And you prayed for the answer, but the answer wasn't given. And yet, we should still keep on praying. This week is the Passion Week, so let us think about what kind of mindset we have during these trials. The sufferings that Jesus took were so painful because Jesus still had the human body. He didn't just have the divinity. He had human body. He could feel all the pains. He sometimes was hungry. He was tired. He had to sleep sometimes. When so many people betrayed him and left him, his heart was broken. It doesn't mean the pains, physical pains were less just because he was Jesus. The loneliness on the cross was something so unbearable. And yet he took all the sufferings with the love for God and love for their souls. Dear brothers and sisters, let me ask you once again, would you be able to take the cup of the Lord? The disciples said they could, but they were immature at that time. When Jesus was praying at Gethsemane, they fell asleep. They said they would die with him, but when Jesus was actually being crucified, they hid themselves, and one of them denied the Lord three times. And yet, after resurrection of the Lord, after they received the Holy Spirit, they were changed, and they actually could take the cup of the Lord. Romans 8:17-18 says that we have to receive the sufferings together to receive the glory together. And the suffering of today cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. So the disciples could take the cup of the Lord. Now, one of them was crucified upside down. They were killed by sword, spears, or arrows, or they were cut by saws, or they were thrown into boiling oil. And yet, they still spread the gospel without being afraid. They rejoiced together even though they were considered like specks of the world. They were rejoiced together, rejoiced and again rejoiced, even though they were given as drink offering. It's because they had hope for reward and glory of heavenly kingdom. It was much more valuable than persecution and death. And we should be able to think once again whether or not we can take the cup of the Lord. Do we love the Lord more than anything on this earth? Can we take the sufferings of the Lord of the cross together? Can we keep the word of God even though it means we lose everything? Can we give our life to save the souls and to accomplish the kingdom of heaven? Are we living like the light and salt of the world for the glory of the Father God? And if we can answer yes to all these questions, then God will show us the evidence that He loves us so much. He will make your soul prosper and give you all the answers and receive all the glory. Let me conclude the message. Isaiah 53:5 says, But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. We had to be scourged. We had to wear the crown of thorns, and Jesus took them all for us. We had to be crucified, and the precious Son of God was crucified on our behalf. And because of this cross, we were forgiven of all our sins, and the gate is open that we can go into heaven. So how thankful and touched and moved we must be. How can He pay back this grace? Because we have received this love of the cross, our joy and thanksgiving must increase day by day. Let us remember the love of God and the love of the Lord, and let us live a life of thanksgiving. Until our lives end on this earth, let us remember the sufferings of the Lord and be able to take the cup of the Lord and be able to participate in the glory of the Lord. I pray this in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.